Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant this week, actually featuring one of his associates, Danielle Olero. Hi there, Danielle.
Hi.
Had you on last time, getting to know you a little bit and your contributions there at Planning with Purpose.
Yeah.
And I think you're the first person who's actually, quote, guest hosted for Paul, so he must have a lot of trust in you.
I think that's true. I was very honored.
That's very honoring for you. Well, this week we want to talk about kind of your take on what is legacy.
Yeah.
Paul talks about this, it's the name of his show, even Legacy and Faith. You kind of want to reiterate, I guess, some of the things that you guys believe legacy is there at the Planning with Purpose offices.
Yeah, so I went home for Easter, and this year we got to have a bit of a more normal Easter, and I have a new 18-month-old cousin, and her mom is also a new member of our family, and so we were walking around my grandparents' property, and I was showing her the different trees that I have planted with my grandfather, and then trees that my mom had planted as well. So we were actually sitting under the shade of the oak trees that my mom had planted, and then I showed her the cherry trees that my uncle planted. And then there's poplar trees, which grow really tall. And
you must have a big yard.
Yes, they are on 5 acres.
Okay, there you go.
So then there's poplar trees, and they're meant to cut the wind down. And then there's some near the road that are cherry blossoms that my other cousins had planted. And I just started showing her all of these things, and as she's sitting here, shaded and protected from the wind and everything, and I started thinking about what that meant, because we have pictures of all of us planting that with my grandfather. And so I was thinking of a tree that actually grows in the desert in Israel. It's called a tamarisk tree, and it's the same sort of principle that applies. So these trees are not native, so most often they are planted. And they take some care, just like our trees took some care to make sure that they grow and cultivate. And they actually take moisture out of the air, and it's in the middle of a desert. And, I mean, I grew up in the middle of the desert, too, in eastern Washington, where my grandparents' property is actually a desert as well. And I can say that the shade that those oak trees provides is so heavenly, especially when you've been out. I grew up riding horses out there. And when you go back into the yard where there's the shade, there's nothing like it. And so the tamarisk tree is the same thing, but it actually takes what little moisture there is in the middle of the desert and puts it out into its shade. And so it's 15 to 20% cooler under the shade of a tamarisk tree than it is under any other tree. But it takes 80 years to grow.
Wow.
So
is it a big tree?
It is. It's a pretty big tree.
Like a palm tree type thing, or?
It's bigger than a palm tree. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree.
I went to Israel once. Maybe I wasn't looking. No one pointed them out.
Well, again, it has to be planted by somebody.
Okay.
So you're not going to find them necessarily just hiking through the desert.
Okay.
They're actually planted by someone. But the rabbis used to say that, you know, this is a tree that you don't plant for your sons and your daughters. It's something you plant for your grandchildren. So thinking back to my grandfather and how he planted trees, I started thinking about this, and so it is a generational mindset, is really what it is. So Abraham was given a promise in Genesis 12:2, which is that he would be the father of many nations. And I'm sure that he wasn't thinking that was just going to be one generation that he would see. He may not have been thinking that we would still be living in that promise now, because God's promises are always bigger than our vision. But he had to develop this generational mindset. And so one of the most beautiful verses that I think of in the Bible is at the end of Genesis 21. It says that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree.
So that and is in the Bible. I must have lost that. Okay.
So this is at the end of Genesis 21. It says, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And I think we read over that quite often. Mm. But really what this is signifying is that Abraham is making an inward and an outward expression that he trusts God's promises so much that he believes that his multiple generations will be in this land and will be able to take care and enjoy the shade that he's planting. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a characteristic of God, that, you know, he cares about the thousands of generations. And so we really need to have that generational mindset. And the rabbis used to also ask, how many tamarisk trees have you planted today? So what have you done today that is going to live beyond you? So I think that that's something that we really need to think of. And so as an estate planner, I hear oftentimes people sit across from me to say, well, I don't really care what happens after I die with what I have. You know, it's my kids' problems. It's whoever's problem, not a bad problem to have, right. But still they say, well, I'm gone. I don't really care. And I would challenge us as Christians that I think if that's truly where you are, to seek after the heart of God, because I think he has a bigger vision for us to have a generational mindset of what does it mean to be good stewards of what he has blessed us with. Mm. Long after we're gone. Mm-hmm. So our legacy does not have to end at death. And I don't think that it's God's heart that it does end at death. It is to be planted so that others can also enjoy that shade. So, and to teach other people to also plant other shade trees so that we can all enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this only though work for people who have have a large estate though? I would think that would be a lot of people thinking, well, I don't have a large estate, so I can't leave my family a large sum of money to invest and kind of take care of them and make it grow that way.
Well, I would say that, you know, we see this in the Bible that God takes the least, always the least. Mm. And it's always bigger in God's hands than what we think of it as in our earthly eyes. Mm-hmm. So I would never encourage someone to look at what they have and call it small. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're doing that, then maybe your vision of God is too small. Mm. Because whatever is in God's hands, he can multiply. So again, Abraham, from the passage that I just read, he hadn't seen the nations yet. Mm. He hadn't seen his descendants yet. But planting that tamarisk tree was a step of faith. Mm. It was a step of faith that there would be generations and that God would be faithful to his promises. So when we're looking at an estate, when you're looking at your bank account and going, oh, I wish that I had more, don't put that kind of limits on God. And don't put the limits of how much that can be a blessing to generations when you really trust God and his promises to, I mean, he says, we're going to bless 1,000 generations. We've all heard that song. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so whatever we put into God's hands will multiply. And so I just encourage people to take that step of faith, to believe that, and to really seek after God's heart and God's vision for that.
Well, of course, the product then that helps the best with this is a trust, a living trust,
mm-hmm.
which is, I know Paul is very happy with that product, that way of dealing with the future and planning and what you do there at Planning with Purpose. How can a trust then set up a legacy? What are some things that you might be able to accomplish with a trust?
Using a trust, we can accomplish several different things. And so the first step really is to seek after the heart of God and what is his vision for what you have. And so after that, we can use the trust to be able to ensure that that vision comes to pass. So maybe that includes charities. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it includes leaving legacy or leaving instructions to your kids or to your beneficiaries of, what your vision was for what you've left with them and helping them to, be able to have that vision come to pass. So maybe that's simply being frugal with the money. But maybe it is something that's more charitable mindset as well. Maybe you really want them to be able to go on missions. So we can build in your vision into what you've left. And then it also, we can set up the next generation. And so making sure that what you have will last for a long time and be able to bless your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and really setting up your family, just depending on what vision God has put in your heart.
Well, for instance, maybe you don't want them to blow it on vacations and houses and things. You want what you left them to just go toward furthering their education.
Exactly.
This is when you reach a certain age, you get so much released for your education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we can have it be used for only needs. We can have it be used for education. And some people would say, well, I want my kids to be able to use it for health and education and for their needs. But I also want to make sure that my grandchildren get some for their education right out of the gate as well. And so what does that mean? And really making sure that people are set up. And so, and then discouraging things that we don't want. So making sure that we're not blowing it on things, because statistically it is within 18 to 24 months people will go through their inheritance.
Just no matter how big it is.
No matter how big it is.
A couple of million dollars. They go through it in a couple of years.
That's exactly right. We've seen it in our own practice. And
but by using a trust, you can...
Yeah,
you can direct that so that doesn't happen.
Exactly. You can mitigate that and really leave behind a legacy of how we want that money to be used. Because unfortunately, it's free money, and people oftentimes, they use it in the same way that lottery winners do.
Mm-hmm.
And most lottery winners, unfortunately, are not blessed by what they have. A lot of them go through bankruptcy.
That's amazing.
And so we don't want that to happen. We want to set people up for success. We want to set our grandchildren up for success and have that be a blessing for as long as it can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of interesting ideas here. What is a legacy? How maybe to use a trust to further the legacy that you want to see pass on to your family? We'll talk in just a moment. Maybe what about for people who don't have children? Or they're estranged from their family. Danielle will answer some questions along those lines. Danielle Olero, an associate of Paul Grant this week, sitting in on the Legacy and Faith Show. Danielle, if people want to get a hold of your firm, how do they do that?
Yeah, go to legacyandfaith.com and enroll in one of our seminars, and we'd love to talk to you.
Legacyandfaith.com. Lots of online learning, lots of past programs as well there at legacyandfaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Paul has the week off, and we are getting to know his associate, Danielle Olero. And Danielle has been talking about what is legacy this week, going back to Genesis and some stories about Abraham. You want to go to the New Testament now and Hebrews 11, the Hall of, which is looking back at some of the patriarchs from the
exactly.
Old Testament, too. But tell us about Hebrews 11.
Yeah, so like you said, it goes back to a lot of the patriarchs for the Hall of Faith is what we call it. And so it says, In Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, and as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So going back to Abraham, it was by faith that he took the promise that God gave to him, and it was Isaac and Jacob who were the heirs of that promise. So again, it's God's vision of being generational, and really taking that promise for the generations to come. And it concludes in Hebrews 11 that the promises of all of those who are mentioned in the Hall of Faith was not complete when they passed away. And so it was by faith that they saw their promise, but it would not be complete until we were together. And so really what that is talking about is through Christ was the full manifestation of their promise, but none of them ever saw it. And so, again, I think it would be my encouragement that people have a generational mindset, that it doesn't, that our vision doesn't stop at death. That goes for our resources, that goes for our time, that goes for our prayer life. So my encouragement is that to have that generational mindset in everything that we do. And so when we're working, when we're adding to our retirement accounts, when we're praying, to really be thinking about what does that mean for future generations and really understanding what that means for the heart of God. And so I was talking about my grandfather earlier, and to understand his love for me even before I was born by planting those trees is a really, really powerful message. And so I think to be able to have that generational mindset and to have others be able to enjoy the fruits of our own labors, I think that's part of what being a Christian really is about, is to have that future mindset. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I would just really encourage people to have that mindset, whether it be with finances or every single thing that we do, to be looking at the future generations and how is that going to affect the future generations.
How to leave a legacy.
How to leave a legacy.
What if people, we mentioned, maybe people who don't have children of their own, how can they leave a legacy? What are ways to do that?
Yeah, so that might mean supporting charities but really I think it all goes back to someone like Abraham sought the heart of God and by faith took that promise. So I think step one for anyone, whether you're a parent, whether you're not, whether you're estranged from your children, really seek after the heart of God and see what his vision is for you. Because I know that I have been hugely blessed by mentors and others who are not related to me, but have sown into my life, whether that be by talents or by mentoring me. And so looking at who else would God have me bless, or who else would he have a vision for me to help them grow? Mm-hmm. And so I think looking at that, but there are also other options as far as specifically with estate planning. We can support charities, and we can support specifically charities or even missions or other ministries that might be smaller. And it's the same idea as what we were talking about earlier with maybe kids or beneficiaries. So we can also make sure that gifts that we're giving to ministries that are maybe smaller can also last a long time. Mm-hmm. And so being able to use a trust mechanism in that way to make sure that it lasts a long time and make sure that your vision comes to pass, even for smaller ministries or maybe you want to support people in missions. So step one is to seek the heart of God and then listen and then really plan for whatever that vision is that he gives you.
Mm-hmm. It could be also maybe a scholarship program. Again, you don't have any kids of your own, but you really believed in education or a particular institution's approach to education. And so you set up some kind of scholarship.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So it might be a scholarship. It might be It might be, yeah, charities. It might be individuals that you want to support in some way. So the possibilities are really endless. And so really just seeking after God's heart. And then
what about explain a little bit more of the scenarios of the estranged children? Is there a way to, how do you reconcile with somebody when you're passed away?
Right.
Is there a way to use your trust to maybe hopefully promote reconciliation in some way? Or have you seen that?
Well, I mean, it certainly is a way to pass on maybe some wisdom that you weren't able to. And it's never too late to speak life to anyone, including our children, right? And so even during lifetime, speaking life towards your children, even if they are estranged. But then, yes, also planning for leaving that wisdom. And so we can do anything from putting in a letter or something like that into your trust, to also just making sure that there's parameters around what you've left them so that they can carry out that vision even still. And I think that's an even bigger step of faith, to be honest, if you're saying, well, I'm believing that even after death, then my child is going to seek after the heart of God. I've raised them in the way that they should go. And the Bible says then they will not depart from that. Mm-hmm. And so setting up a plan so that they can be successful, but also taking that step of faith to plan for your children, even though they are estranged, and saying, you know what, God, you can take care of what I can't, but I'm going to do everything that I can to plan for and to have a vision for even something that I see as an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm. Also, maybe a special needs child. This is something that people are concerned about when they pass. Who's going to take care of that special needs child?
Absolutely. And that's one of the bigger, legacies and things like that, for sure, is making sure that a special needs child is not only protected financially, but then also has people around them who will help them in making decisions and help them maintain as much independence as possible. Mm. And then making sure that they have the resources. So setting up a special needs trust so that it's not being taken by the government, what you've left, but it can bless them financially and also make sure that they have the resources and the help that they need. And so that's absolutely something, and something I've seen have a really big impact on people's lives, is when parents are able to plan. And that's something that also changes as the person gets older, and making sure that they have a really solid team around them. My grandma is actually a board member of a place that makes sure that they can have as much independence as possible. And having a really good, solid plan is something that I've seen have a huge impact on people's lives when they have special needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our last couple of minutes here, what are some ways that people can start leaving a legacy today while they're still alive? How do you start building that legacy today?
I think it really goes back to that initial question of that the rabbis asked of what tamarisk trees have you planted today? So what are the things that are going to affect generations? So a part of that would be prayer life, passing along wisdom. Like I said before, I have been hugely blessed by mentors who are extremely generous with their time and their wisdom. And then from an estate planning perspective, certainly, our finances only end at death. Our legacy for finances only end at death if we choose to. Hmm. And so seeking after God's heart, getting that vision. So that's steps one and two. But those don't do anything unless we plan and have action towards what God's given us into our heart. And so creating that estate plan, getting an appointment with an estate planning attorney and saying, this is what I would like to see with what God has blessed me with. And this is how I want to see it bless the next generation. That's really going to be important for making sure that what you have blesses thousands of generations after you, which is what God's heart is.
Okay, some of the heart of Danielle Olero. She is an associate of Paul Grant. Of course, Legacy and Faith Show, normally hosted by Paul Grant. She's been sitting in the last couple of shows. People are intrigued. They'd like to maybe get to know more about what you can offer there at Planning with Purpose. How do they get in touch with you, Danielle?
Yeah, come to legacyandfaith.com and enroll in one of our workshops, and we'd love to sit down and talk with you about the heart of God.
Okay, legacyandfaith.com. There's also past programs there, many programs, many subjects, and online learning as well. Legacyandfaith.com. Thanks, Danielle, for sitting in for Paul this week. I think we did okay.
Yeah, thanks
okay.
for having me.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.